All right. Welcome. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
So we want to welcome you to another day, another podcast. We're kind of excited. We're always excited just to get together and talk relationships with you. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk about the bachelorette, you know, and it's always nice when you can get your topics from different things that are happening because people are familiar with it. It's close to us. And so we just recently had the bachelorette final. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of some controversy around that. So we want to talk about that. Before we get into that, though, we first just really want to thank Harris Booker for sponsoring the podcast. And I want to encourage you to give them a call at 909-717-4886. This is a man of God who really just has a heart for people, and he really wants to help people, especially in the area of insurance. So please give him a call and be informed. So with that said, Keontae, man, are you a bachelorette watcher?
I'm actually not, but I will say this finale that just happened is pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting. I have to agree myself. I don't really get into much of the TV reality. But I'm always just in tune and try to see what's happening around the world and what's impacting people. Mm-hmm. And so for those that might not be familiar with what happened with The Bachelorette, is in the finale, you have this love quarrel. I don't know, would that be?
Yeah, love quarrel, triangle?
Triangle type thing. And so the ultimate goal for those that aren't familiar with The Bachelorette is you have a woman who has, let's say, 20 guys. And she's trying to pick between these 20 guys as far as who she's going to, who's going to be the final guy. And normally at the end of that, there's a proposal and there's like, oh, you know, and people are super happy and they go off. And I want to say most of the time, 9 times out of 10, they get married. Mm-hmm. And then kind of people follow that. And so you get to ride along on this adventure of seeing them pick who they like and who they don't like. Right. And so there's obviously some dumping that happens in this process because she has to narrow down from 20 or 30. I don't know exactly how many, but she has to narrow that down to the one guy. And in this, we find this situation where she has this one guy that she really likes and everybody's into it because they have this connection, and his name is Peter. All right, thank you. So we got Peter. And so there's this great connection between her and Peter. But in this situation, she really is struggling because Peter is expressing, I'm not ready to propose to somebody that I've only known for 6 weeks. And so, I mean, you see this drama because she really likes him and he really likes her. And so they're crying and they're going back and forth because she's like, look, I didn't, you know, stop doing my job and come over here to do all of this just to walk away with the boyfriend. And he's like, well, but I just want to get to know you a little bit longer. Look, I'm committed to you. I'm willing to go long term, but I'm just not ready to propose for somebody that I've only known for 6 weeks.
Right.
You know, so they end up crying. They're this emotional, and the people that are watching this are emotional because you can see the connection that they have, and ultimately they walk away. And she ends up accepting the proposal from the other guy, the other runner-up, named Brian. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it ends. So first, go ahead, man. What's your thoughts, man?
That's just, like I said, that's what just really made it interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I can see where she's coming from, you know, and the, and you know, with Peter saying the 6 weeks thing, and then, you know, her, you know, just ultimately going with Brian. But man, when you talk about just chaos and just a storm of just confusion, that was real.
I mean, how would you feel if you're Brian? I mean, we're gonna get to Peter and Rachel, but I'm just like, if you're Brian in that situation, because they don't really know what's happening when it's being filmed. They only see it when it comes out.
Right.
So at this point, you know, like Brian's like, yeah, I won. I got the girl. Yeah. You know, so he's probably on like a high, and all of a sudden the show comes out and it's like, oh, like, so you really only chose me because he didn't propose.
Right.
You know, so like, how
I'm
does that work?
Second fiddle.
I'm second fiddle, but I won, but did I really win? Like, that would be so weird. And then what is that atmosphere like? How do you, I'm asking you, man, how would you deal with that? I mean, like,
you know what? It's, it's just hard to deal with, I would say. Because what makes it really interesting is, like, it's just like you said, you don't, you know, as it's going on, you don't know what's going on, really. Right. You know what I mean? So in Brian's head, he's like, man, you know, I'm on top of the world and whatnot. But then in her head, she's like, yeah, I got a proposal, but this wasn't my first choice.
Right. I really do like you, but I like him just a little bit more. Right. And that's just...
And so with Brian, though, you know, as when the finale happens, I can only imagine what's going through his head as he's watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And seeing, you know, just a person that you head over heels for, the reason why you came to this show whatnot.
Yeah.
To see that her heart could possibly still be with somebody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just really tough. I don't know, man. I couldn't do it.
I mean, I guess that's TV drama for you. So let's get into, because I guess the bulk of our time that we really want to talk about is in relationships, you know, what is too fast? What is too slow? And that's a question that many people have. I know that some people, they really rush into marriage. Other people, it's taking way too long. And it's like, wait, are you going to propose now? And so what is that timetable? What does the Bible say? What does God say? And you go back to the situation. And you're right when you said you can really feel for both, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Rachel on one hand who, I don't know if she quit her job, but she's a lawyer and she stopped. She put her job on hold to say, okay, I'm going to pursue to find my boyfriend through this venue.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not if that's the right venue, I'm not even going to get all of that. But the point is that she's there to try to find her husband through this venue. And we all know that at the end of Bachelorette, what happens?
You get the ring.
You get the ring. There's a proposal. So, I mean, you can somewhat understand, you know, her point of view in that, hey, you know, I did not come here to walk away with a boyfriend. Like, dude, what's up? You knew coming here on the show that you're supposed to walk away with the
ring.
So why'd you even get on the show? I'm going to stick up for Rachel for a moment.
That's a good question. That is a good question.
You know, I'm going to stick up for her just for a moment. Why are you even going to come on the show if you're not prepared at the end to offer a proposal?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, why don't you go ahead and share the other hand for Peter?
So then, you know, for Peter's, I mean, see, and it makes for good. Before I start on here, I'm about to say, just to add on to Rachel.
Okay.
You know, because it would have been good, you know, had Peter just said, you know, in the beginning of the show, like, hey, I know I'm on this show and I know it's supposed to be a ring, but I'm going to just let you know right up front. You know what I mean? Maybe we could click, but I ain't, you know, it ain't
He
that
would
serious.
Not have made it to the finale. He'd be like one of the first people he would have got dumped.
He wouldn't have made it. Hey, maybe she'd have been.
He would have been like one of the first people that got dumped because she would have had no connection
right,
to him.
Right, right.
And she would have been like, really? Really?
Right.
Like, that'd have been number one person dumped. All right, he'll go. Okay, all right, so Rachel.
Okay, so now on Peter's side, now him saying, hey, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with moving forward and proposing to you to a person that I've only known for 6 weeks, you know what I mean? And in my head, I'm like,
that's not absurd.
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? It's what's funny is, you know, I read a quote from this article about The Bachelorette.
Okay.
And it says, you know, a person waiting a little bit longer to propose to somebody, it says, in the real world, that's normal. You know, but in the Bachelorette world, that's just unacceptable.
Right, right. And that really is the case.
Right.
But I mean, but don't you, when you get married, don't you go back to the real world?
Yeah, exactly.
So aren't you setting yourself up for failure when you kind of play this fantasy, but you have to live in the real world? Your marriage is in the real world.
Exactly.
You know, so the marriage is not on. Well, for some people, it's on TV, but that's still the real world. And that's why you see all the drama that ends up happening for those that, you know, are doing reality TV. But going back to your point, though, I mean, that's not unreasonable. I mean, 6 weeks, y'all. Right. Not that they've been friends and they've known each other for a year or a couple months, you know, but literally they just met each other a month and a half ago. They haven't even known each other for more than 2 months. And he's saying, look, I really like you. I love you, but I'm just not prepared. I just want a little bit more time before I propose. That's not absurd.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts, man? So as people in that situation, people might be feeling like, okay, he's wrong, she's wrong, he's right, she's right. You know, how would God deal with it? How should we deal with this within relationships? Is there a time limit? So is it wrong if somebody wants to propose and get married quickly? Let's go there first.
I would say that I don't think it's wrong when it comes to this. When it comes to this answer, yeah. I just don't think that there's no specific length of, you know, dating time. That, you know, that it's like, oh, you need to have this amount of time required to even propose to it. Because in part, I have a friend that actually, she met someone,
yeah.
started dating him, got engaged, yeah. got married, and then got pregnant all in 1 year or whatnot.
Yeah.
Granted, they're still together, though.
And I want to add to that, because you do see that. And that's important to understand that, you know, the Bible doesn't necessarily give a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does talk about is keeping your commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, only through time do you know the character of a person, whether or not if they're going to keep that commitment.
Right.
But we'll come back to that. So, but to, as you said, you do see people that they got married at first sight.
Yeah.
You know, so it might have been a week. It might have been, I want to say there's somebody that I know that it was like a day or 2 days. Mm. You know, so there are those situations where it's been a week, it's been a month, it's been 6 months.
Yeah.
And they've been married for 15, 20, 30, 40 years. But is that the case for most?
I mean, hey, when you throw the word most in there.
Because you have to, because it's so easy to look at the rare exception.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so it's so easy to say, look, I'm going to play the lottery because, look, so-and-so won.
You're right.
But how many people didn't win?
Right.
How many people lost? And when you look at statistics, you have to bring that into this discussion,
mm-hmm.
because, yes, the Bible doesn't necessarily give a time limit. But when you look at the rate of divorce, first off, is around 50%.
Mm-hmm. It's up there.
But then when you look at it for those who met and got married quickly, that almost, you know, doubles. It gets higher.
Right.
And so in that, you have to consider, okay, well, what's the likelihood of this working if we hurry up and rush into marriage?
Mm-hmm. And the likelihood is, you know, it's, like I said, it's really out there. When you bring in that lottery example, because, man,
that came off the cuff. Right, you know, I just thought about that. So.
If you ever bought a lottery ticket,
yeah.
Let me raise my hand.
I raised my hand, too.
But if you look at the back of the ticket, it'll show you the ratio and statistics of your odds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And those odds are astronomical.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we don't necessarily take into account, like, man, the odds are almost impossible.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just go ahead and try anyway. You know what I mean? But that's just that's a way smaller scale,
yeah.
than actually marrying somebody, spending the rest of your life with somebody.
Someone.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you really want to think it out, you should take your time to fill somebody out. You know what I mean?
But I mean, you could take too much time. We're gonna go there. We're definitely gonna go there. You can take too much time.
That is true. I mean, tis true on Rachel's part. That's why she was feeling the way she was feeling. You know?
And I don't know if we mentioned, but she had just got out of a long term relationship, mm-hmm. where it didn't go anywhere.
Right.
And so you even see this situation that kind of led up to her choice,
mm-hmm.
because I think it might have been different if she just didn't get out of a long-term relationship that didn't go anywhere.
Right, didn't have nothing to gain from it.
But as a result of that experience, she's like, look, I'm not doing that again.
Right.
But would you rather take time to marry the person that you're going to have longevity with, or marry someone who, and I'm trying to say not mistakes, because marriage is about choice. And that's why I'm careful I don't want to say it won't work if somebody gets married within a month.
Right.
Because it comes down to what do you do with inside that marriage?
Exactly.
But you don't know someone and what they're going to do and what their character is like until you give time. And that's what it came down to me. And so one of the things that, you know, there was a couple points that I thought about. And the first one was this. Marriage is a covenant that, mm-hmm. shouldn't be taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something, oh, I'm just going to help me get married and we're going to see how it works. No, it is a covenant. Mm-hmm. It is a contract. It is a lifelong contract. And so it shouldn't be something that you just, oh, well, I'm just going to do it.
Right. I'm going to just wing it.
I'm just going to wing it. And so you, there's things when you talk about contracts for cars or a contract for a house, you know, those things are things that you really think about. There's background checks. And I mean, there's all kinds of things happening to make sure you're going to fulfill your end of the contract.
Right.
And how much more is a marriage? Is not a marriage a greater contract than a car? Is not a greater contract than a mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
So should not there be a greater process to really understand if that other person that you're getting into this binding contract in?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know in our culture, it's so easy to say, oh, well, it didn't work out. You know, let's file for divorce. And the ramifications, many, it's not highlighted the destruction and the heartbreak and everything that happens within that. But it within our culture, it's so easy to say, you know, I'll look for somebody else.
Yeah, my bad. So, you know, so
I'll go
that.
On Bachelorette too. You know, and you know, you yeah, right? Yeah, they yeah, see yeah, that yeah. Where all of a sudden it's like the person who got dumped is now the new bachelor.
Yeah,
and then they go, you know, it's just like just
so it's just a cycle. Drama. Yeah,
the cycle. Before I move to the next point, man, any thoughts on that marriage as a covenant?
Nah, man, I totally agree with you. You know, when you just, it's just like you said, when you think about just pop, not even just pop culture. I mean, you know, well, culture, we just want everything microwave and fast and ready or whatnot. But when you just think about life and just everything that you do in your life that, you know, when we drive in a car, it takes us X amount of days to get our permit, then, you know, take the driving test, then get our license. You know what I mean? And we do those things, you know, and just do them. But when it comes to serious decisions, isn't that your serious decisions worth more time than that?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I totally agree with you on that one.
So to add to that, to build onto it, time is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to make a decision, and the Bible does talk about, you know, don't haste, don't rush into a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so time is valuable. And time within relationships helps you to understand you and them.
Exactly.
Because many times we just think, well, I just need to understand them. Well, no, you actually need to understand you too.
Mm-hmm.
Because until you've been in a relationship, you don't really know who you are in some situations. So let me give an example, and you can give me your example, because I just saw you smile right now. And so in that, there's three things that I always tell people and try to encourage people, that if you want to get married, are you ready to be a giver, a helper, and a sacrificer?
Mm.
Because marriage is about giving, it's about helping, and it's about sacrificing for the other.
Right.
But many times we get into relationships, it's not so much about I'm ready to give, but I'm ready to get.
Mm.
It's about, I don't want to be alone, so I need you to supply this need. I need you to do for me. I. And so we step into relationships. I like you because you look this way. I like you because you're doing this for me. I like you because the way you make me feel. It's really selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And but when you get married, you have to understand that it's about selflessness. And so time only helps you to see and understand, you know, whether or not that person is really a giver, if they're prepared to give,
right,
if they're prepared to make sacrifice, not be perfect, but prepared to make sacrifice. Oh, I saw you smile. Go ahead.
Right. So why I smile is because, you know, as soon as you said, you know, marriage is not only about figuring out the other person, but it's about figuring out you.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a friend that I got married, right? And he told me this story about, you know, we got married and then, you know, we moved in together after we got married. And, you know, they had been dating for about 2 years before that. So he thought that he, you know,
knew her.
Yeah, 2 years? Oh, yeah. I got her down. I know her.
Yeah.
And as soon as they moved in, the first discussion that they had to have with each other was, or he had called me and told me, said, I don't really know how to go about this. And I'm like, man, like, what happened? You know, just let me know. He was like, look, I'm used to putting my cereal box on top of the refrigerator. She puts it in the refrigerator. You know what I mean? And so, you know,
small thing,
right,
you don't
small
even think
things.
About it. It'll be an argument, like a drag out argument.
Yeah. So that's why I put a smile on my face, because that's just really a testament, because like you don't know how you're going to react to things, because you're in your head, you're going to get married, moved in, and she's doing everything the same way that you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now you bring into the equation, oh, wait a minute. She's doing that a little different. You know, now you're starting to act, you know, your reaction to that is a little different. That's why it's so key. You have to figure out yourself.
Well, the Bible says this. I'm going to go to a scripture in Matthew 7:15. And man, I hate to be this long into the show and we just now get to a scripture, but it's okay. So Matthew chapter 7, 15, chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruits, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down." So let's get down. Let me start right there. So one of the things that God wants us to protect us from is that you'll know people by their fruit. Now, that word fruit is talking about the evidence of their life, what their life produces.
Right.
So all of us, our actions are producing something, and what we're producing is our fruit. And so here Jesus is saying, wait a minute, there's some people that you're going to come across. There's some man that they're wolves. There are some women that they are wolves. And so they're just looking to use and abuse. And you see that within relationships where people walk away hurt because they got involved with someone who was a wolf.
Right.
So one way that God says you can know whether or not who they are is you need to look at their fruit. But time allows you to look at people's fruit. And so if you want to get to know who somebody really is, you need to give time in order to know who that person is. And talking about how time is valuable, I was thinking about how within relationships, and you know, you can give me your thoughts, but as men and as women, when you first meet somebody, you putting on a front.
Oh, yeah.
You putting on the best you.
You got an Instagram filter ready.
Instagram filter ready. You know, you're putting on the best you. You're putting on the best smile. You came up with the best jokes. You came up with the best responses. And so everything just seems to click. And I have no doubt on Bachelorette and on The Bachelor, I mean, they have thought through exactly how they're going to say this and how they're going to say that and what they're going to do with this response. And they came up with all these corny but cute little friends. Phrases, and then you see it, you're like, oh. And so, I mean, you're seeing the best of that person.
Yeah.
But if you want to see the fruits of someone, you also need to see the worst of that person.
That's true.
And so you need to be able to see what happens when this person doesn't get their way. What happens when we have a disagreement? How do we deal with conflict resolution? Oh, I know you're going to church now, but are you going to go to church a little bit later?
Right.
Are you going to church just for me? Do you have your own church? I mean, so these are all these different questions that you need to see beyond just what they show you.
Yeah.
But you're only going to see what they show you at the very beginning. And you're also only going to see what you want to see at the very beginning. Because a lot of times we have like blinders on because we're so just infatuated.
Right. In the moment.
You know, it's like, oh, they're the one. But everybody else is like, you don't see that?
Right.
You don't see
that rev? You don't see that stop sign behind you?
Yeah, you don't see all that stuff? You don't see what he's doing. You don't see he's talking to so-and-so, but we just see what we want to see.
Right.
And time allows us for those, you know, that to kind of, those scales to kind of fall off.
That's good, man. And going back to what you just said about the fruit, man, because it does take time for us to inspect fruit. And, man, I'm just so fearful for Rachel, you know, and we're just moving on with Brian. You know, I don't know what their future is going to hold.
Right.
But the way that I look at it with the fruit analogy is if, you know, if you went to, let's say you went to a grocery store, you know, you picked up a watermelon. You take your, you knock on a watermelon, see if it's hollow, you know what I mean? You take it, you know, you kind of weigh it. You take your time to inspect it.
Right.
In this situation, it feels like she just went, where's the watermelon section? Oh, they're over there.
Right.
She just grabbed one and just went on. You know what I mean?
No, actually, this analogy is like she took the time to knock and she found the one that she really wants.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at a price that she was not willing to pay. So she went and lowered her standard.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we preaching right
now. Right.
This is supposed to be a show, man. Let's kind of conclude our show for today. And I want to conclude with the thought of this. So what is the time frame? What is a good time frame? I think there's two sides of this. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, this is biblical. I mean, this is not biblical. Because the Bible doesn't necessarily give time frames. It does talk about looking at people's fruit. It does say don't rush into situations.
Right.
But at the same time, there's no specific time frame that the Bible gives. These are things that I've learned from life lessons and from ministering to people and seeing different situations, if you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe there's two sides of the coin. either you have a lengthy courtship and a short engagement,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. You have maybe a short courtship and you have a lengthy engagement. And those give you an opportunity to still see who that person is. The key thing for a relationship is it should progress.
Right.
You want to make sure that a relationship is progressing. And so you sometimes you find people that they're in a relationship where they've been with this person for 3 years and there's no proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it's like if you're with somebody for 3 years and you no proposal, it's like, come on, I'll say 2 years. Within 2 years, you should know. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, this person is even somebody that you should be marrying.
Right.
There should be some type of proposal because the proposals still sometimes take time after the proposal.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a time frame where it's like, come on, we should be progressing.
Right.
Where are we going? And so those are good questions. Don't, if you're listening to this, you better not be in a relationship with somebody for 5 years and they ain't put no ring on that. You better not.
Right.
At 2 years, you should be like, hey, because you're wasting time. Mm-hmm. If they're not willing to do it after 2 years... All
right,
man, go ahead.
Right. Man, just in my conclusion, man, I just want to pull up a scripture right quick, just a quick scripture.
Right.
Mark 10, verses 7 through 9, it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh." Now, pay attention to this in verse 9. It says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate."
Yeah.
And so my question in this, when it comes to talking about time and how long should you wait and, you know, when do you make your decision, you know, just thinking about Rachel's decision.
Yeah.
And just this whole Bachelorette episode and just all the thrills and excitement that went into it.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself this question. When you're making a choice and a decision with somebody, are you following the pattern of verse 9 where it says God has joined them together? Or are you following the pattern of, well, this is what I want, so I'm going to join me together?
Right. And that's a good question.
You know what I mean? So that's why it really just takes that time and it just takes that methodical just, yeah. You know, thinking of, okay, he does this, he does that, or she does this, she does that, and so on and so forth.
Because it comes down to if God is in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. But many times we put self in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then our choices are a reflection of self versus our choices being a reflection of God.
Yep.
And we want God in the midst of it. And I will say this. I'm going to stick up for Rachel just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because there were other options for Peter. Because based off of what I was just saying, that you can have a short courtship, which the Bachelorette is a short courtship.
Yeah.
And you can still have a lengthy proposal. And so he could have said, look, I'm willing to propose, but can we put our proposal, can we put our engagement for about a year? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as though he was going to propose and all of a sudden they had to get married by the end of the show.
Yeah, you know.
I would totally stick up for Peter if Peter was like, yo, we got to get married. That's the finale, you know.
But
the finale was really just a proposal. And so she was just saying, look, you know, that's part of what this is. Are you willing to at least invest? And that's what you want. You do want investment. And that's what marriage is. And that's why it's so important that don't sell yourself short by giving up the goods. You know, come on, work with me. Don't give up the goods and they're not willing to invest. And marriage is an investment. They're saying, I'm not trying to lease. I want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be at a place where it's like, no, you just can't drive me. No, you don't get the goods until you're willing to invest and buy, and that's what marriage is.
Yeah,
and so I'm gonna stick up for Rachel and just a little bit to say he could have just said, look, I'm gonna propose, but I want you to understand that I take marriage serious. It's a covenant. And so therefore I don't want us to have a quick engagement.
Right. You got a point there, you know. I didn't even put that in my head to think like that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So yeah, that's good.
All right, well, I really hope that you guys enjoyed our time together. Let's just quickly pray. Father, we love you, and you are an awesome God. And Father, we really want to have you in the midst of our relationships. We don't want self. So whether or not if it's disagreements, whether or not if it's making choices as far as who we should date or courtship or whether or not if it's proposals, Father, may you be in the midst of it. Help us to remove self and to follow you, to seek your spirit, to be filled afresh. there are people that are listening to this that need to make some tough choices. But Father, give them the strength that they need to make the choice that you want them to make. We love you. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, God bless you. God keep you until next time. Be sure to go to the website, simplifycomplexity.org. Also, you can follow us on iTunes. And so if you have not subscribed on iTunes, please go subscribe on iTunes. We want to build up. We want to know from our listeners. So go there, leave a review. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it, especially if this podcast has been a blessing. Put a review on there because, you know, I'm the type of person, you shop at Amazon, I shop at Amazon, and reviews count.
Man, they do.
We like to see reviews. And so if you see a podcast that has some high reviews, the number of reviews count. So I'm thankful. We got some people that left reviews. We have high reviews. But, you know, the count makes a difference. And right. So when you see the product that's, you know, what, like has 10 reviews versus the product that has 200.
Right, you like...
I'll go to the 201. Hey, so God bless you. God keep you. Until next time. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion in my family. There's no place I'd rather be or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you. Because a body can't function when a body's been too.